you know, if you shared information with a reporter that was classified. Now, that reporter is a assuming it's a U.S. citizen, you're not helping a foreign power. But if there's that disclosure, even if the reporter didn't further disclose it publicly, you could be nailed under the Espionage Act. So it's not committing espionage necessarily. It's mishandling of classified. But treason is aid and comfort to the enemy during a time of war. So that's a very high bar to hit.
I think you could hit Hunter with conspiracy charges relating to a variety of different attempts to conceal his income from foreign sources, certainly for all sorts of tax evasion. I also think that there is, if you had a really thorough investigation, the potential that some of that money was being funneled to Joe Biden and he did not report it on his taxes. I also think, again, the biggest story now associated with Hunter to me, Buck, we've known that he did the tax evasion for a long time. I think you could really hit him with the lobbying for foreign government based on what he was sending in these WhatsApp messages and the money that he was getting. And I also think that the obstruction by Merrick Garland and other elements of the Department of Justice is a huge mess for the entire Biden administration going forward, up to and including, in my opinion, Joe Biden, who was willing to do whatever it took to protect his son from any sort of consequential treatment there.
Let's see. Who else we got on the lines here? Walt in Panama City, Florida. Walt, what do you got for us?
Hey, good afternoon. Appreciate you having me on here. This is off topic, but I was in a hotel in Charleston a couple of weeks ago. They have a gated parking lot adjoining their hotel. And as we were pulling in, there was a big sign that said electric vehicles are not allowed in this parking lot due to fire hazard. And I just thought that was humorous, the way that the libs are pushing electric vehicles on everybody, but they've got all these issues with them.
Well, also the electricity, thank you for calling in, the electricity that they use tends to come from coal plants. So yeah. there's that with the whole, we're saving the planet. Clay, big lemon shark, kind of like big tobacco, is weighing in feverishly in our VIP inbox here at clayandbuck.com. Subscribe today. Stan writes, Buck, wrong again. When I was a Navy diver, lemon sharks were a species of concern, more dangerous than a white tip, but between a black tip and a tiger, especially in murky waters. Cheers from our... I'm going to tell you right now, look, if you're going to be worried... If you're going to be worried about somebody's Pomeranian biting you, that's up to you, folks. Lemon sharks are the Pomeranians, the chihuahuas of the sea. They're just, technically, you could get bit, but let's not be wimps.
I do not know if I would be picking sharks as my enemy of choice from an irony perspective if I were you living in Miami. I would have my head on a swivel next time I go in the water.
You know what?
Because all these clips will get pulled.
I know.
If you get attacked by a shark, and they're going to be everywhere. It's going to go viral because you've attacked the shark community to such an extent.
Just watch. Now I'm going to stick to swimming pools, and a gator is going to take my hand one day in the greatest irony of all time. Don't mess with the animal kingdom, folks.
You'll be like Tubbs and Happy Gilmore.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton. On the front lines of truth.
Mike Lindell's introducing the MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented the original MyPillow, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly 20 years later, he's using new technology to make the pillow even better.
The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, but now has brand new exclusive fabric that is made with temperature regulating thread.
The MyPillow 2.0 is available at a great value right now. Buy one, get one free for a limited time with promo code Clay and Buck. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. The pillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee.
Go to MyPillow.com, click on Radio Listener Special Square, and you'll get this buy one, get one free offer on the MyPillow 2.0. Enter promo code Clay and Buck or call 800-792-3269 to get your MyPillow 2.0 now.
Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, if you're with them, you're overpaying, pure and simple. Pure Talk can easily save your family over $900 a year. Right now, get unlimited talk, unlimited text, and ultra-fast 5G data for just $20 a month.
What about the coverage, you ask? It's phenomenal. I'm on it. Pure Talk uses the most dependable 5G network in the country. So grab your phone and dial #250 and say the keyword Clay and Buck to get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of data for just $20 a month.
Pure Talk's amazing U.S. customer service team will make switching so easy, so choose a veteran-owned company who cares about keeping jobs in America and saving you money.
Pick up your phone and dial #250 and say Clay and Buck for unlimited talk and text with plenty of 5G data for just $20 a month. Dial #250 and say Clay and Buck, and save an additional 50% off your first month with Pure Talk.
If you're hiring, it can feel like you're trying to find a needle in a haystack. You can hope the right person comes along, or you can just use ZipRecruiter. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. In fact, ZipRecruiter has helped a lot of business owners find their needle in a haystack, like Marco, president of operations at Telly Tires and Auto Centers. Because Telly Tires has grown a lot in the last few years, Marco needed to hire everyone from a receptionist to a store manager to a head mechanic.
ZipRecruiter helps me find all the right people, even the most difficult jobs to fill. ZipRecruiter helps me keep my business running.
Take it from Marco and millions of other businesses who've used ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter can help you find the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter. The
live from the
way
South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa Studios. From the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMCQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kent Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.gov. I'm John Scott. President Biden has kicked off a new effort to convince voters that the economy is flourishing. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
During a Chicago speech, the president emphasized Bidenomics. He argued that so-called trickle-down economics have failed and boasted about low unemployment, job growth, and infrastructure investment on his watch.
Guess what? Bidenomics is working.
But a new AP NORC poll finds that just 34% of U.S. adults approve of the president's economic leadership. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Also at townhall.com, National Weather Service meteorologist Brian Jackson says by the weekend, some of the extreme heat will have lifted in Texas and the surrounding areas.
In general, we're seeing more 90s than 100s. So it's relief from the extreme heat, but it's still typical summer heat. So it's not really an end to a heat wave. It's just an end to the extreme part of the heat wave.
The heat blame for nearly a dozen deaths. That Texas heat dome is expected to move eastward. NATO's Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg says he's called a meeting of senior officials on July 6th to try to overcome Turkish objections to Sweden joining the military organization. The meeting is a last-ditch effort to have the Nordic country among NATO's ranks at a major summit in July. Assailants have tossed at least one explosive device at a police station in the southern Mexico state of Chiapas as a massive search is continuing for 14 police employees that were abducted at gunpoint on a local highway. Those attacks highlight a new turf battle between cartels. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 118 points, but the NASDAQ is up 23. More at townhall.com.
Recent bank failures are serving as a warning about how fragile our banking system really is. As millions of Americans panic, do you know what central banks are doing? Well, they're actually buying up gold at record levels. They're relying on it as a safe haven during these difficult times. That's how confident they are in the dollar. Hi, I'm Lance Wallnau, Christian author and evangelical leader to millions of people just like you. We're all Americans who want to protect our family's savings no matter what. I tell people the best option is to diversify their 401k or IRA into physical gold or silver with the help of Birch Gold Group. To see how it works, just text the word FAITH to the number 989898 to get a free information kit on gold IRAs. Look, there's no strings attached. It's not going to hurt you to take action now. So take the first step today and educate yourself. Get your free info kit when you text FAITH to 989898 right now. And I pray you and your family are greatly blessed.
The IRS is hiring 87,000 new agents. It's not a matter of if, but when you or your small business will be audited. Hey, Mike Rasmussen here. You need to be prepared when the notice arrives. That's why you need my friends at RevRex. It's revenue reconciliation made easy. When the IRS audits you, they access third-party databases such as your credit cards, banks, and your point-of-sale system to find underreported income. In many cases, though, that income is not underreported. How do you prove it? RevRex. As a small business owner, you make a buck, you report that buck. Don't let the IRS or any tax agency estimate your bucks. RevRex does not replace your CPA. It's an online tool to assist you and your CPA before you hear from the IRS. Beat the IRS to the punch. Get your data. Get protected. Get RevRex. That's RevRex.com. RevRex.com.
It's 12:04. This is your KMCQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. Workers at the Venetian Resort and Palazzo will get a chance to vote on whether they want to unionize. Local union officials say they've reached a card check neutrality agreement with Apollo Global Management, the managers of the two Las Vegas Strip resorts. The agreement means Venetian and Palazzo management teams will not take a position as workers decided whether they want to unionize. Now, that move to unionize is the first for the two properties, the only two non-union shops on the Las Vegas Strip. They've never entered a collective bargaining agreement with the property's previous owners, the Las Vegas Sands Corporation. Well, it's good to be defending champs as attendance at the Las Vegas Aces games is among the best in the WNBA. The Aces are averaging just more than 8,700 fans per game this season, placing them third in attendance behind the Phoenix Mercury and the Seattle Storm. The Aces have already made franchise attendance history this season. Their home opener back in May had 10,191 fans, the most for a regular season home game since the team moved from San Antonio to Las Vegas. Seattle led the league in attendance last season.
KMCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Stop in now for a premium synthetic blend oil change for only $24.95. Meineke, doing car care right.
Watch for an accident. It's blocking the right lane on Interstate 15 southbound. That is just past Sahara. Do expect slow flows 15 northbound at Russell. And watch for accidents Buffalo at Tropicana, Lulu at Young Street, and Tropicana at Brussels.
Mr. President, it's time to get to work. Surely we both agree that the national debt is too high. Surely we both agree that inflation hurts American families. Surely we can trim waste and streamline programs to make them both stronger and more efficient. Congressional Republicans are ready to act to save our country and to make America stronger.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It is live and local. We are moving towards a brand new month. This is going to be so exciting. I cannot tell you as we get to, I guess, what is the midpoint relative to summer. And that means the kids will be going back to school in another month and a half or whatever it is. Unbelievable. Always good to have Michael Shouse alongside, the former communications director for NPRI and the founder of Shouse Creative. First of all, before we go too far down the road, what is Shouse Creative?
Yeah, Shouse Creative is an organization, a creative studio, basically. We help folks tell their stories. So the way that we look at it is if you are an activist organization or an individual or anybody that's working on your branding, we are there to help you do everything from graphic design to marketing plans and website development and anything in between. We help folks tell their story to the world is all we do. And you can find out more if you go to ShousCreative.com. That's just S-C-H-A-U-S Creative.com.
Now, as I mentioned, Saturday, a lot of proposals, a lot of bills, a lot of potential legislation signed by the governor. It becomes law on Saturday. Michael, with this slew of new laws, we have a new higher minimum wage. How is that going to impact small business?
Yeah, I mean, this is something we've kind of known and kind of been able to plan for a while, because it was under Democrats a few sessions ago that they were talking about this seriously, and then I think they implemented a raise in the minimum wage session before last. So what we've got is we know that we are going to be facing higher costs if you're a small business, especially if you are somebody that engages in, like entry-level work. So fast food restaurants or even just mom-and-pop shops that might have a couple of teenagers that they want to have employed at the end of the school day, it's going to cost you more money.
And I would have, again, I'm just doing the logic here. The logic tells me that if you've got labor costs that are increasing along with manufacturing costs and just the cost of goods and services, it's going to exacerbate the whole deal of inflation and Bidenflation, whatever you want to call it. Is this going to make it tougher for folks to just function?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly going to strain certain small businesses, because you already have price inflation and everything else. The real damage that it's going to do, and I think what a lot of folks on the left tend to miss, and a lot of economists on the right don't focus on enough, is it's really going to hurt entry-level workers. So if you're somebody who, let's say that you've been out of the workforce for a while and you want to get back in, or you want a part-time job to supplement one of your other incomes, it's going to be really hard for you to find work. Because if somebody owns a small business and they know that now they have to pay more for labor, they're going to expect more from that person that they hire. It doesn't make sense to hire an entry-level worker or a teenager for after-school hours if they're paying the same wage that, hey, you know what, I could get somebody with a college degree. So it's really going to be hard for folks who are currently on the quote-unquote low end of the economic scale just trying to get their foot in the door.
Are there union contracts out there that will escalate with the increase in the minimum wage?
Yeah, I mean, unions like to take credit for the rise in wages and what have you, because they have long fought for things like minimum wage increases and what have you. The other side of that story, though, is most of the great progress that has come in the labor market has come from businesses, not from labor unions. And what we've seen with labor unions time and time again, they overextend their hand a little bit. I think about the UAW, the auto workers, for example, in Detroit. They were requiring so much that eventually the manufacturers there said, hey, look, we're going to have to start building stuff other places. We're going to have to start going to Mexico or going overseas. And the union workers kind of drove out the business out of Detroit. And I'm afraid that we're going to see some of that over the coming years as people are battling inflation, as the economy does struggle. You're going to have unions start demanding more and more from employers, exacerbating the problem that we're already seeing with inflation and minimum wage increases.
What I have always hated, and I'm trying to think of where it really began, but the Postal Service, airlines, you walk in the front door and somebody immediately says, well, just to slide over to this kiosk over here. There's no person attached to the kiosk. There's no worker attached to the kiosk. And I keep thinking to myself, how many people lost their jobs because of this?
Yeah, and there's something to that. I mean, especially when you're talking about situations like fast food restaurants, which are increasingly going to the kiosks. You think about the grocery store. It's actually difficult every time I go to Smith's to find a checkout line where there's a human being ready to check you out. Increasingly, they're moving to the self-checkout. And that definitely does cost some jobs. The other side of that economic equation, though, is other jobs are being created elsewhere, whether that be developer jobs, that be jobs kind of behind the scenes, support staff in order to make all of that happen. There's going to be progress, and I don't think we should be afraid of automation. The question is that automation coming organically, or is it coming because of policies that are put in place by lawmakers? And the policies that are put in place by lawmakers that are driving that automation are needlessly killing jobs. But automation is something that ultimately the future is going to arrive. And, you know, we don't want to be that buggy whip salesman that's lamenting the development of the automobile, for example.
Well, I always hate it when you get into the McDonald's drive-thru lane and somebody says, do you want to use the app? You go, no, I just want to order food.
The problem is I think there's still a consumer preference for human interaction. I look at one of the most successful fast food experiences. I don't know how successful they are as a business, but you look at Chick-fil-A, and these folks have got it down. They've got human interaction at every step of the process, and they are probably the most well-run fast food chain out there. In fact, during COVID, when everybody was trying to figure out how to do testing on a mass scale, a lot of municipalities looked to Chick-fil-A and said, hey, can we hire you to run our testing facilities? So there's definitely something to be said about human interaction there. And I think what you're seeing at places like McDonald's is, even though McDonald's knows the customer wants human interaction, they look at their economics and say, well, we can't afford it right now because of all this regulation that's been put in place and minimum wage increases and the like.
Any other particular laws that got passed in the 82nd Nevada legislature that maybe trouble you or maybe that you're real excited about that will take effect coming up on Saturday?
Well, I think one thing that we should definitely note about this last legislative session is that we are lucky there is a divided government here, because Joe Lombardo vetoed a ton of bad laws. And that is something that simply would not have happened if you had had a Democrat there ready to rubber stamp anything that came out of Carson City. So really, we should probably be celebrating the fact that there aren't as many laws as the legislature wanted there to be taking effect on July 1st. And that should be something that we should be happy about. In addition to that, you know, it's mostly the little laws that are kind of exciting me. For example, there was a law to try to legitimize street vendors, for example, and that's just, to me, that's kind of a good economic small business entrepreneurial idea, saying, hey, how do we make it easier for folks to do business in the city of Las Vegas? Little things like that are making me happy, but there's nothing big out there. I really wish on July 1st we could be celebrating the funding of opportunity scholarships or something, but obviously that just wasn't in the cards.
Let's move to politics. One of the surprises, at least for me, is not on the Republican side, where we keep adding more and more candidates to the presidential race, but on the Democrat side, where RFK Jr. is polling at roughly 20% on the Democrat side, and a lot of people are saying that he ought to move to an independent status and get out of the Democrat Party. First of all, from a branding standpoint, what does he need to do? What is his path to victory?
Well, you know, it's really weird where he is right now. I mean, I don't think he's got an ultimate path to victory. First of all, just because we're talking about the Democrat National Committee, and we know, watching the Bernie Sanders versus Hillary Clinton primaries, that the DNC is going to do what the DNC wants. If they want Biden, Biden's going to be the guy. So RFK certainly doesn't have a path to victory there. As an independent, as much as I lament the two-party system, we're still not in a place in this country where you're going to have an independent with a viable chance to win something like the presidency. That being said, as far as RFK's branding itself is concerned, it's a weird situation. A lot of the folks who currently are liking him and saying very nice things about him on social media, they're people who, you know, a couple of years ago, they would have hated him for his view on guns or climate change or fill in the blank. There seems to be a real kind of cultural moment right now where people are just looking at what RFK is saying today. And I think that as more and more comes out about him, more people on the left and the right and the middle are going to say, yeah, you know what? This guy is kind of off his rocker in these other areas. We're going to be worried about him.
In a recent stump speech, he never once mentioned the one topic that he gets more play with than probably anybody, and that's the vaccines. He was very anti-vax, and he still is, but he just never mentions it in his stump speech. Is that a matter of staying away from something that is polarizing?
Yeah, I mean, I think he is wise enough to know that his traditional history of anti-vax, you know, when he talks about anti-vaccination in terms of COVID, that tends to be pretty popular. But when he starts to talk about it in terms of all the other vaccinations, you lose a lot of support. A lot of people step back and say, well, wait a second. Yes, I'm worried about the COVID vaccine, but, you know, polio seemed like a decent vaccine. And I think he's well enough aware, self-aware, to know that. So he wants to kind of step away from that on a regular basis. And I think that that's probably going to serve him well, at least in the short term here, stepping away from his traditional history of anti-vax on all levels.
I've been trying to figure out, maybe you can help me with this. You've been around this political thing many, many times. Is Robert F. Kennedy Jr., is RFK Jr. more liberal or less liberal than AOC?
Unfortunately, it's not really a linear spectrum. On some issues, he is absolutely more liberal than AOC. Remember, RFK Jr. was long ago talking about how, you know, we need to grab certain guns and outlaw certain guns and what have you. When it comes to environmental issues or quote-unquote environmental justice, he has often talked about the need to completely outlaw certain types of energy-producing emissions and what have you. So he's definitely to the left of AOC in some regards, but in other regards, he does have more of a libertarian or even a conservative streak in him. And so he is a mix, and I think that's the reason why he's got this early support, because there is more of a mix. He's not a cartoonish portrayal of the left or the right or even of a libertarian. And people, I think, are able to find something in his recent speeches that they can cling on to and say, hey, this little nugget makes sense. Maybe this guy's on to something.
Again, Michael Shouse joining us, the former communication director for NPRI and the founder of ShouseCreative.com. Are you worried that we have developed and the Democrats have been really the main culprit of a two-tiered system of justice? We're seeing the sweetheart deal that is going to be entered for no less than Hunter Biden. Is it possible that federal judge might, considering all the information that has been coming out on an almost daily basis, that judge might throw out the plea bargain?
Well, I think something that most of us should probably acknowledge is that there's been a two-tiered justice system for a very long time. I mean, people in higher echelons of government, left or right, Republican or Democrat, have been able to get away with a lot more than the average person. This is nothing new that Hunter Biden would be facing significantly less criminal penalties than you or I if we were caught doing the exact same thing. That being said, what I think is really gaining more attention is the way that it's not just delineated between the elites and, you know, us peasants. It's also against the left and the right. We've seen different justice applied to people who have an R in front of their name versus people who happen to have a D in front of their name. I'm not sure that the judge is really going to throw away the plea bargain, although who knows, anything could happen. But I don't think 20 years ago, this probably wouldn't have surprised people. Today, it's more surprising because we see what's happening when it comes to the political persecution against people who happen to be of the wrong political party.
Give me your sense of where Donald J. Trump is. He's obviously leading. He quoted one poll that said he was leading 77-23. I don't know what the poll was, but he cited some poll, some unidentified poll, and said, I'm leading 77-23. First of all, do you believe polls like that at this point in the election cycle?
No, not really. I mean, one of the dangers, well, one of the benefits that Donald Trump has going for him, aside from name recognition and what have you, is the fact that so many people are entering the race, they're probably going to dilute the non-Trump vote there. So people who don't want Donald Trump but still want a Republican, you know, they've got a lot of names to choose from there. So that's definitely something that he's got going for him. And because of that fact alone, he's going to at least show a plurality of support at this stage. We'll see how that holds up, and we'll see how that plays out over the course of the next several months. But also, we'll see how the race actually shapes up. As more people end up dropping out, as the race consolidates a little bit, we will see whether we have a replay of 2016 where Trump just gets stronger, or if we have a reversal of 2016 where people are able to rally around a non-Trump candidate. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But at this point, I think people should look at the overall trend and say, yeah, it's reasonable that Trump will have a plurality at this point, if not an outright majority. But a lot's going to change as